You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, hour number two. Here we go back to the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. And welcome in the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan. Jim, we were hoping for a close game. Tom Brady and the Patriots, too much. Another quarterback hurt. A rough Sunday at First Energy Stadium.
Yeah, it really was, Nathan. It was a little bit sobering, I thought. After a lot of close calls against Baltimore and really Philadelphia and certainly Miami and Washington, I mean, this was football at a different level as the opposition, with a quarterback that is tremendously driven and even more so coming into that game because of a four-game suspension, and a team that was coming off a disappointing flat performance from the week before when they got shut out by Buffalo at home. And it had all the ingredients of what it turned out to be, a team that is very businesslike and thorough, that comes in and takes care of their business against you and at the expense of you. And I think that's what happened to the young Browns yesterday.
Jim, for you and your perspective, what are a couple of the bright spots for the Cleveland Browns of who played their best football yesterday, even in light of the 33-13 victory by the
Patriots? I'll tell you this. Before he went down hurt, I thought that was a nice drive that Kessler had put together to tie the game, and it was a nice pass to Hawkins. And he had a couple of other good throws in there, too. I thought he did a really nice job. He checked down to Crowell one time and got them on a nice play there. And he was doing this minus a running game, which he has had at his expense the previous week. So until he got hurt, and I know that was very brief, Matt, but, I mean, it seemed as though he had grown up a little bit more. That was a good drive. That was kind of – that can be a little intimidating that Brady takes his team, goes right down the field, and they go in for a touchdown very easily, and bang, you're down 7-0. And you come right back then, and you take your team down. I mean, that's the way you have to do it. So that was good. And then, albeit it was way too, a brief amount of time because he got hurt. But I thought that it was good to see Gary Barnage get involved in the game, and he did that when Whitehurst came into the game, and suddenly those passes down the seam reappeared in the Browns' offense. And they've been missing, I think, earlier on in the first four games. So I thought that he was pretty good in the ball game. Other than that, I mean, it was tough to really pick out individuals that really had a big game. It was good to see Andrew Hawkins get involved. I think that was very needed, and I thought it was even needed somewhat in the weeks leading up to this game. So it was good to see him involved, but I thought it was a really frustrating day for the offensive line and certainly the running backs, because New England just did what they do. They identified that as something that they wanted to take away, and they thoroughly took it away in the game yesterday.
Yes, they did. They stopped the ground game, and without that, it seemed that the Browns were a little bit limited. But again, you don't know what it would have been like with Cody Kessler in there. But let's go on this defensive side of the ball. Tom Brady, the tight end position, something you and I talked about in the pregame, was so critical for the Browns to try to, not that you're going to stop Gronk and Bennett, probably the best tight end duo in the league, but you knew that was going to be an issue. It's been an issue all year, and the Browns just had no answer. What can they do defensively to try to slow down that position, which is becoming more and more important in the NFL? And by the way, you have another great tight end this Sunday in Delanie Walker.
Yeah, I think really, Nathan, by the end of the year and probably in a couple of weeks, this tandem of Gronkowski and Bennett are going to be just off the charts, especially with Brady throwing them the ball. I mean, Gronkowski had been laboring with a hamstring, and they both were really hurt by the fact that they were having different quarterbacks in their different weeks. So I think a lot of people are going to have a lot of trouble controlling those two as they get rolling, and that's going to be a big, big plus for New England. But you're right, it's become the new wave. I mean, it's a copycat league, and people look at what the Patriots do, and they try and copy that because it's so successful. I don't know, Nathan. I mean, it just seems as though, you'd like to think that we could get better play out of our safeties. We just don't seem to make any plays out of the safety position other than just making tackles way down the field as a last man down there trying to stop a big, big play from becoming a touchdown. It seems to me that safety play would be one area where you would just hope that the Browns could pick up and get some better play out of that and make some plays out of that position. And it just seems as though they have a lot of trouble covering off the line of scrimmage. These guys are free over the middle of the field. And, I would like to say those were great catches that those guys made yesterday, but they were so wide open at times and so forgotten during the play that they drifted out. Bennett drifted away and made wide open catches that it's alarming, really, you know, whose responsibility it is and why there still seem to be a number of communication problems.
Do you think at some point Joe Hayden, you know, gave up another big play today, yesterday, that he's somebody that might make a transition from corner to safety? That was something that I'd heard some national people talk about and brought up on the show today. I don't think it's happening anytime soon, but could that be something?
You know, it might be, Nathan. It really might be that way. You know, Joe is he's a different guy for some reason, and maybe he would be better back there, you know, coming up and making plays. I thought at times Joe comes off the corner very aggressively and makes plays in the running game, and he can blow a sweep up at any time. He seems to have really good instincts that way. I would assume that he would be able to do that out of the safety position. I think he's, you know, he's got the ability to find the ball, and it might put him in a situation where he gets some of his confidence back, because he really, I mean, he is really struggling at times, you know, covering these receivers on these routes that they just seem to get by him and get separation. And yesterday he ran into a quarterback that could just throw it on a dime once that receiver broke free. And I know it's troubling to everybody, because you look back on these big plays and you immediately turn and look and see who the defensive guy is that seems to be on the coverage, and it's 23. So, yeah, that could be something, you know, that he may be at that point in his career. I don't know if Joe wants to admit that, but it could be something that you might have to explore.
Yeah, I agree, Jim, and that's something Nathan and I discussed earlier. And really, as you look at that Patriots football game, we talked about our inability to stop the tight end. That's something that's got to get fixed. And then, you know, how the Patriots constructed a defensive game plan to slow down and limit our run game is something we absolutely have to address. As you said, it is a copycat league. But beyond that, is this the type of game that just you look at the Patriots as the franchise they are with Tom Brady back, and you kind of go, okay, we learned the lesson. Throw that, bury that one, and let's get on to a football game, you know, in Nashville, Tennessee, against a team that we can, if we put it all together, can beat and get that sensational feeling of winning a football game.
Yeah, that's totally the way you got to do it, Matt. You're hitting it right on the head there. I mean, you have to look at that game yesterday and say they're probably going to do that to a lot of people.
Right.
Now, they will. They're going to beat a lot of teams like that. They're going to do it in Foxborough, and they're going to do it on the road.
And I think in our division, too, they'll do that to the Ravens, and I think they can do that to the Bengals as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, they play the Bengals this week, and they can probably do it to them the way that they're playing. There's no doubt about it. You got to take something from it. You got a shot at them. You did some things. You take the small things or the small amount of things that went your way in the game, and you got to just say, okay, and you got to – you know, you just have to move on, and you really, I just do believe, Matt, that at some point they must break through and get a win here to get this thing feeling the right way. I think that it just gets worn out. I could see it wearing out even in the locker room yesterday after the game, that this business of, well, you know, were you competitive? And, you know, well, it was 7-7 at one point. I mean, that wears very, very thin on head coaches and players and fans. There's no doubt about it. So for everybody concerned, I definitely think you move on and you throw everything into this trip to Nashville over the weekend, and a team that certainly played pretty well yesterday and won, but you should be in there and be very, very competitive against them and put together a plan that hopefully you can execute completely, and then at the end break through and get a win.
If the Browns go to Tennessee and don't win, it was a team they've beaten each of the last two seasons. They had the big comeback in 2014. They beat him at home last year with Johnny Manziel.
Right.
Do you think that this game is a real pressure point for just kind of the belief? Because I think a lot of people come in and, you know, Hugh Jackson, he's got that energy. You believe in him. He's got, you know, that almost a sense of magic and his ability to motivate these guys and relate to them. But at some point, you know, if you're staring at 0-6 and now you've lost to Tennessee,
right,
and, you know, looking around the league, you've lost to Baltimore, who's not that good of a team. Miami might be as bad as any team in the NFL. And you know, Washington, not that impressive of a team either, even though the fact they're 3-2. You know, at some point, do you worry that, you know, you talk about it wearing on guys, but that wears on the coach and basically this whole organization is, okay, we're supposed to start anew, but here we go again.
Absolutely. Now, do you remember a couple of years ago, and I think it was the year Hoyer, it might have been the year Brian was playing quarterback, or I remember when Oakland came into Cleveland, it was a 4 o'clock game, and the Raiders came in winless, okay? And I can remember there was a lot of pressure on both teams that day, even though the Browns didn't have many wins. But, I mean, they were still, you know, in the win column, and it was Derek Carr playing, but it was, you know, they were very young, and Khalil Mack was very young too. and it was a tight ball game. But and Oakland was winless, and I remember talking to their people that were connected with the team, and they were saying, "Hey, if we don't get this one today, we're kind of looking down the road as to when that win is going to come." And there is that feeling, you know. I thought about that game as, you know, the morning hours went through today, kind of wondering, okay, if you don't get this one, kind of like what we're steering towards here, if we don't get this one in Tennessee, you got to start looking at the schedule and wondering where you're going to get it. And I do believe Hugh Jackson can orchestrate magic and things like that, but I think it is made so difficult when every week he prepares a quarterback for a game, and then that quarterback goes down and he's injured, and you're running another guy in, and you're running Pryor in, and then you're running the other guy back in, and that becomes very difficult. So, yeah, I do believe there has to be some internal pressure going into this game Sunday, that it is in the winnable category, and you really need to win it for everybody's spirits and mood.
Yeah, and it's tough that we're already at this state. I think just even one of those wins earlier would have been very, very helpful for this team. Do you worry that the Patriots have provided the blueprint on how to stop the Browns' running game, or do you think that they can bounce back against Tennessee, who's got a very good front led by Jarrell Casey?
You know, I think that New England is so game plan specific that they just, you know, they throw everything into that. It was the perfect storm. Buffalo ran through them the week before. You know, Belichick just wasn't going to allow that to happen. And I think they put all of their eggs in that basket to shut down the run, and they did it. I mean, they've done it to so many teams far better than the Cleveland Browns. And like I said, I mean, I just think that they are at such a different level than so many teams in the NFL. So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely something that people can take a look at and then wonder, can we do that? I would like to think that it was specific to New England, and that the Browns should go right back to work and not think that they can't do that, get back to where they were running the football and make that the bread and butter of their offense. So I would like to think that they can go in Sunday and go right back at it and be far more productive than they were in this game yesterday.
Certainly hope that will be the case, Jim. If Cody Kessler is able to go, that will be good for the Browns. If he's not able to go, what do you see happening with this quarterback position?
Gosh, I don't. I really, it's incredible. Because the thing, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this, is that there were plans going into the year of, you know, making progress and getting reads on certain guys. And Charlie Whitehurst certainly wasn't in that plan. He's here now. And you know, I don't know if they, you know, if they got to bring Kevin Hogan up off the practice squad, and certainly he wasn't in their plans, or maybe they would have drafted him at some point. But, I mean, he's here now too. But it just seems like all of the plans that they had have been put in a file marked injured and put to the side, and that's, I'm sure, what is frustrating to this head coach and this coaching staff is, you know, they would like to be moving on with RG3 first, and then if it's a competitive situation, if RG3 goes down, you'd like to think that McCown's experience could get you through a couple of games and you'd be able to win. And that would be at the benefit of a guy like Corey Coleman,
right,
and some other guys, but that isn't happening. And then you go to Kessler and you resign yourself, or at least you settle yourself down and say, okay, well, we're going to get a read on him. And now he goes down. It really is frustrating. It's not a good situation. It wouldn't be for any team, but certainly not for this team.
No, it would not. All right, Jim. Hopefully I keep waiting. We're going to do one of these on a Monday and talk about a win. Obviously, you know, when you look at this Patriots organization, it's the class of the National Football League. And the Browns,
yeah,
while they knew they were far from, you know, being a good team, it just shows,
yeah,
how far they are from being at the level of the Patriots, and obviously,
yeah,
still
you
a
know,
lot of work to go.
Yeah, Nathan, let me just tell you one quick story. And I don't know if it's going to make anybody feel better. But back a while ago, a long
yes,
time ago, I'm going to try and make you feel better.
Good.
Back a while ago, just to tell you that, you know, it hasn't been all rosy in New England. And I remember the Patriots, when I was doing NBC games back in the early 90s, pre-Belichick, obviously, and pre-Bill Parcells, and pre-Robert Kraft, the Patriots were the absolute joke of the NFL. And I was doing a game late in the year, one year in December, in Foxborough, and I remember the PR guy coming in. The Patriots were going to take on Jeff George in the Indianapolis Colts.
Yes,
Jeff George's
my guy.
Rookie year. And I believe Scott Zolak was the quarterback that day for the Patriots. And do you know the pre-sale for the game that afternoon in Foxborough was 12,000.
Wow.
That's how low the Patriots were. And then, bang, a couple of things happened. You know, new ownership and Bill Parcells leads to Belichick, and things happen. And that's, I mean, you know what? It hasn't been all, you know, great wins and Super Bowls and conference championship games for the Patriots through the years. I mean, they paid their dues and were down at the bottom of the league at one time. And then just the decisions and the selections and the players all came to them, and it all clicked at some time. And I think it will happen here. It's just, and I know patience is tough to preach, but I don't think we'll ever be at a point where we have a pre-sale here in Cleveland of 12,000 for a game.
I certainly
hope not.
Yes, yes. It could be worse, folks, and hopefully it will get better soon. Jim, thanks so much.
You got it, guys. Take care.
All right, we'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily right after this.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Where I'm From Apparel makes high-quality, super-soft clothing that celebrates the places you're from. Where I'm From Apparel is an Ohio-born and raised company headquartered in Columbus with 10 locations at malls throughout the state of Ohio. Of the 10, 5 right here in Northeast Ohio. And, of course, they partnered with Cleveland Browns to offer an exclusive new apparel line available only at the Pro Shop and pregame on Dog Pound Drive. And the team shop is open during games as well, 7 days a week during the season from 11 a.m. to 5 a.m. Some of those Browns themed designs include a Cardiac Kid shirt, a Muni Lot shirt, and a Here We Go Brownie shirt and a retro helmet shirt. Very comfortable t-shirts. Matt and I love them, and you will love them too. Where I'm From. That's what you want to do. Where I'm From Apparel. That's where you want to get the good stuff and go down the team shop and get it. Let's go. All right, we're going to go around the AFC North now. An interesting day for the division, to be sure, as they went 1-3 in their games yesterday.
They did.
Let's bring in Mutt Fontana.
Gentlemen, yesterday for the AFC North, we start with the Steelers because, as you mentioned, the lone team to get a victory yesterday.
They are averaging, I saw something, they were averaging 21 points a game without Le'Veon Bell. They're averaging 37 points a game with Le'Veon Bell. Sammy Coates had over 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. The funny thing is, not only that, Sammy Coates dropped 5 passes, could have had about 4 touchdowns, 5 drops on the day. Ended up with 6 catches for, I think, a 130 and 2 scores, had 5 drops, could have had over 200 yards and 3 or 4 touchdowns.
And they said now, too, he reportedly has a hand thing. So they I saw a report after that he showed up on the injury report after the game with a hand. He had, like you said, 6 receptions, 139 yards, 2 touchdowns. One of those being 72
yards. And here's the thing, okay? How dangerous – they're dangerous to begin with, right? Martavius Bryant out. You've got Le'Veon Bell, D'Angelo Williams. You've got Antonio Brown. But now that you've got, like, a true dual threat, and I don't know how much – again, not being able to truly watch that football game – how much of it was because of the attention that Antonio Brown was getting that allowed Sammy Coates to get in one-on-one situations and happen to be a big,
course,
big guy,
and
makes him pay?
Bell, of course, and correct. Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, that's the last
so
thing you're worried
that's
about.
That's a complimentary offensive football team that is playing scary good, and I think it's the last thing people want to see is Ben deliver the football successfully to someone else besides Antonio Brown. And then it means, and that's only a good thing for Antonio Brown.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, indeed.
For the Baltimore Ravens, they fall to the Washington Redskins 16-10 for Flacco. Only threw for 210 yards and a touchdown after getting rid of Justin Forsett. As a team, the Ravens only rushed for 118 yards. 95 of those came from former Brown Terrence West. For the Washington Redskins, Kirk Cousins had a touchdown and an interception. Matt Jones only had 31 yards rushing. A real defensive battle in this one. Guys, are the Ravens a playoff team this year? They're 3-2.
No. And Mark Trestman, their offensive coordinator, already fired.
Fired.
Okay? 5 games into the season, he is gone. Marty Morningwig, who was added to the staff, I believe, early last football season, is going to take over a play-calling former head coach, former offensive coordinator in Philadelphia, head coach in Detroit. So they are a team, and I think, and I read a little snippet on ESPN.com about the Trestman firing, they have high expectations there in Baltimore, and they are not being met, especially from an offensive standpoint. Defense is not playing all that great. I'll say all that bad. You know, they're keeping teams in it and doing what they can, but they need to rely on the playmakers they've given Joe Flacco to score points.
Let me ask you this, Matt Willem. What did I say about that Ravens team on Browns Countdown yesterday? I said they stink.
Okay.
They are not very good. That is not a good football team right now, and I am not surprised that they lost to a Redskins team that is also not a good team. Their offense doesn't scare anybody, and their defense, while good, not making enough plays. I mean, look, the Browns were up on them 20-0, and obviously the Browns were not able to hold on, and they won that game, but the Browns were up on them. We were up on them 20-0.
Right.
Okay.
Finally, around the AFC North, the Cincinnati Bengals are now 2-3, guys. They fall to the Dallas Cowboys 28-14. Andy Dalton threw two touchdowns, one of which was in garbage time, though. But the Cowboys racking up 28 points after Ezekiel Elliott rushes for 134 yards and two touchdowns. Brandon LaFell had both touchdown receptions for the Bengals. The Bengals, guys, also in fear of not making the playoffs this year.
They are struggling. You look at who they've beaten, not good teams, who they have lost to, the three good teams that they played. They could do nothing yesterday. And it was crazy. I was watching the game, and at one point, Dalton had completed 12 passes in a row. They just weren't scoring points. And, you know, I think that they are missing the play calling of Hugh Jackson on the offensive side of the ball for him there. And I also think that they defensively, their inability to stop the run. I mean, I know Ezekiel Elliott is good. I know that that's a great offensive line because it is. But they ran right down their throats, and that's not the first time that's happened to this Bengals team so far this year.
Yeah, it was – all I know is I watched – again, I was flipping between games after getting home, and I happened to be watching the Bengals-Cowboys game, and Ezekiel Elliott for that on that 60-yard touchdown, to me, I closed my eyes, and it was like the Alabama National Championship game of the Buckeye offensive line blocking them up perfectly, which the Cowboys did yesterday, and Elliott going untouched – through the heart of the defense for a touchdown. Running away from people.
Yes.
I do have a question for you guys as we continue. Will one of the AFC wild cards come out of the AFC North this year?
No.
I agree.
Really? Wow. So one playoff team. Probably the, what do you think, Steelers?
Yeah, there's no question.
But wait, but then look at the other divisions, okay? Is the AFC South is probably only going to give you one.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Their division winner, either the Colts or the Texans.
The West is going to give you two, maybe three.
So okay. Right now you're
Chiefs, Raiders, Broncos.
Yeah. I think the Bills. I mean, can't sleep on the Bills.
You're right.
Winners of three in a row.
Okay.
So right now your division leaders are the Steelers, the Raiders, the Patriots, and the Broncos. There are three teams right now in the wild card position. That would be the Texans, the Ravens, and the Bills. They're all 3-2.
Okay.
And then right behind them, the Bengals, the Titans, and the Colts. So unless the Colts, maybe the Chiefs. Also, the Chiefs are 2-2. They're in there.
Okay, they're on a bye.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know if this late bye serves the Cleveland Browns very well. I'd love to have that early bye, like right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it would be a reset. I think you'd like to see this a dub right here, and then you could maybe then take a bye. And although if the round's won, you want to kind of capitalize on that momentum a little bit.
I'd love to steal a week of free rehab and recovery for all the guys that are battered up for this football team.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And this team it's been an unbelievable number of injuries so far for this. I mean, just really an absolutely unbelievable number of injuries for this team thus far. And that has been, I think, one of the more surprising things. You know, you're looking at this team and you're saying, hey, we got to deal with this, I guess. It's the hand that we've been dealt, but it has been a rash of injuries.
And that's the thing. You know what, from now on, I think what you and I should do, regardless, like Bill Bender today, every national person that we have on from now, it's like, have you seen a football team through five football games start four quarterbacks, start three quarterbacks, play five quarterbacks in five football games? I'd love to hear that story.
I mean, we have got five quarterbacks that we played in five games, counting Terrell Pryor.
Started three. Yes.
Charlie Whitehurst, Pryor. I mean, it is really just unbelievable.
It is.
Yeah, unbelievable. Tough. Very, very tough. Very, 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 very tough for the Browns. And there's a reason why. Most teams, and listen, when you go back and you look at the Green Bay Packers, the year that they were down to their third quarterback, they weren't beating anybody. The Colts, when they get down to their third, they're not beating anybody. It doesn't happen in the NFL, but for the Browns, you need to see there are signs of positivity. If you want to see them, there are positive signs. But they're not the kind of positive signs that make you feel good on a Monday morning.
No.
Because this team, victories are what makes you feel good.
And I think that along with the last 16 years being what they have been, add to how you feel? It is a lot.
It's a lot to deal with, and, you know, sad but true. It's a lot to deal with, bottom line. All right, when we come back here on CBD, the head coach of your Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, will be at the podium for his Monday update. Should update on Cody Kessler. The expectation is a rib contusion day-to-day, and hopefully we'll be able to play this Sunday, but we'll get the official word from the head coach of your Cleveland Browns right after this.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Let's go to the podium now and hear from Browns head coach Hugh Jackson. To a concert. It's a
Daytona Airbrush t-shirt. Well, as I said yesterday, we played a good football team. They had their quarterback back, and I'm sure they were raring to go. And I think there was a lot of lessons learned for our football team. Haven't watched the tape, haven't had an opportunity to come back and look at it from the coaching viewpoint. There is a lot we could have done to play better, and our team has to continue to grow in a lot of different areas, and that's my responsibility as a head coach of this football team, and I get that along with our staff to continue to get these men better. And the effort's there. There's no question about that. I think the guys are working extremely hard. I think they're giving everything they have. I saw some improvement in some areas that I thought was very important that we continue to get better in over the next several weeks. And I've seen some growth in some areas, but I also seen some things that we got to continue to work through and get better at. And we'll do that. But I'm not by any means, I'll say it again, discouraged. I'm going to stay determined. This team's going to stay determined, and we're going to stay together, and we're going to keep working at it. And that's what I love about these guys. And I know everybody says, well, you guys are 1-5. How much longer can you keep playing this car to get there? We're a pro team, you know, and our job and our mission is to go out and win every game and to work every week to get better. And that's my job, to motivate these guys along with our staff, to get them to buy into what we're trying to sell. We understand we're a young team, but we're going to work at it every day to continue to get better. Okay. Well, Cody obviously will be day-to-day. You know, as I said yesterday, there's nothing broken, so there's a good chance that he will have an opportunity to be out there this week, so we'll work through that. Josh McCown will have an opportunity to practice this week, and we'll know more about exactly where he is as we go through the week, but he definitely will have a chance to go out there and practice. So I think that's encouraging. Charlie will kind of see where he is with the knee, and I'm sure that'll be day-to-day as well. So I think we'll have three guys standing out there, so we'll be able to pick somebody out of the group, but we'll keep working at it from there. I think obviously there's a couple other injury things that we need to make sure we get through. Obviously, Cam Irving will have an opportunity to practice this week, and we'll see exactly where he is. So I think, as I said before, at some point in time, we're going to start to get some of these guys back. I know the quarterbacks are the biggest issue, but, you know, hopefully we'll get these guys out there, and we'll see where they are as we go through this week.
Before Cody got hurt, he put that nice drive together. You guys put that nice drive together. Mm-hmm. What did you like most about what he was able to accomplish on that drive?
Well, I thought he made some good plays outside the pocket. Everything wasn't just, you know, bang, bang, where you drop back and throw the ball to the open guy. He had to ad-lib to some plays and made some plays that way. It was two of them to be exact. One play, honestly, we were trying to throw the ball to Spencer Durango down the left side, and out he comes. You guys didn't know that, did you? So he came out, go watch it. Spencer's running down the left side, and he comes over to the right and finds Hawk for completion down the right side of the field. And then the second one, you know, he made a maneuver and pushed the ball and ended up getting it to Crow, you know, which I thought was a huge play. So he did some good things and made some good decisions with the ball, and that's kind of the way we play, you know, very efficient, understanding where the ball goes, mixed with runs, mixed with things we do, and normally it leads to good things, which it did to a touchdown pass to Hawk.
Week.
Well, I don't know if it's more leadway. I mean, it's just our offense opens up a little bit more. You know, the more he grows, the better he gets. So I don't know if leadway is the right word. More so, if, you know, there's more things we can ask of him to do.
When you say that Cody Cody Kessler has a good chance to be out there this week. Are you talking about in practice or in the Titans game?
I'm talking about the game. Hopefully the game, yeah. You know, if he's going to practice, I would hope that he's got a good chance to be in the game, too.
When McCown's able to play, will he go back?
I haven't made that decision because he hadn't practiced, so I don't think we need to go there just yet.
Hugh, with Cody, is it a matter of how much pain he can tolerate as far as whether or not he can practice or play?
Well, he will be out at practice and probably will have a chance to practice. But, again, we won't know that until Wednesday. But I know he will be there at practice. I'm sure it's a pain tolerance issue. But, again, every day is going to change. You know, it's today, it's tomorrow, and practice is Wednesday. So we'll see where he is then.
You talked yesterday about the run game.
Mm-hmm.
When you went back to watch it on film, was it as simple as the Patriots devoted so many men stopping it?
No. We can play better. We can play better. We can just overall, we can play better.
You kind of took the fall on the call yesterday that Kessler got.
Absolutely. Not going to change.
Okay. What was the problem with it? That you guys were so backed up? Or what?
Yeah, just a bad call in that situation. Mm-hmm.
In terms of assignment breakdowns, was Duke as he needed to be? Did Cody take the drop that he needed to
take? On Coach Jackson. Moving on. Here we go. No. Mm-mm. No, it's not a concern. I mean, I'm sure you guys have all seen games where things just don't go well sometimes. You don't play as good. And it's unfortunate it happened yesterday against a good quality opponent. You know, we wish that part of our team played extremely well. It's the run game. You know, we were one of the better running teams in football, and they shut it down. So I don't know if it's a blueprint. You know, I'm sure people will attempt to do those same things, but I didn't think that our run game was more shut down. They did a good job. Don't get me wrong. I think they did some things defensively that maybe that we didn't adjust to as well. But I think we could have played better. You know, I believe that all around. I think our guys know that there's more in there for us. You know, instead of I couldn't even look at the stats. Couldn't look at it. So I don't know what the number was, but whatever it was, it should have been better than what it was. So that's what I would say.
Do you have any reason to think, believe, hope that had Cody been able to stay in there, he was starting to get into a rhythm, that things may have gone a little bit better?
You're right. It's, you know, Mary Kay, it's hard to say that because he wasn't, you know. Their team won, and they were better than us yesterday, you know, so I don't, to say what could have been is not going to do anything for anybody. They were better than us yesterday, and they played well enough to beat us, and they did. So, and we have not won a game, so we're an 0-5 football team, and we get it. So we got a lot of work to do. When you're 0-5, you got to get better.
Yesterday's kind of a bad example because of the team you were playing, but how frustrating is it for you when you're just getting little chunks, and you have to put together 10 play drives?
That's football, though, right? So as I talked to our guys about today, sometimes you got to just kind of keep pounding a rock. You know, and I'm not talking about running the ball, but I'm talking about what you're saying. You know, it's a little chunk here, it's a little chunk there. Those chunks add up, you know, to big chunks sometimes. So 10 play drives are fine with us, you know, as long as they lead the points. And we have no problem with that. But, again, you have to do the things consistently, and that's what we did in that second drive, you know, to make those things happen. And I feel good that we'll keep growing that way. And we're going to play some good defenses. They had a great defensive effort against us yesterday. And so we have to make the next jump in our growth as an offensive unit.
You talk a lot about injuries. They happen as part of the game of football. You know, but a quarterback, if you can't get a guy through four quarters, you almost have no chance to win, or the deck is going to stack against you. Are you, as you move forward here with all these injuries, are you cognizant of putting together a game plan that also includes a little self-preservation for these guys to try and protect them even more than maybe normally you would do?
Well, I think the game, I mean, I think all of our game plans are that way. You know, sometimes things happen. You know, I think each one of these injuries has been a little different. You know, they haven't been all the same. And again, it is football, and these things are going to happen to players. We just have had our share of bad luck, in my opinion, you know, and it's unfortunate, but we'll get this turned around to where we'll have maybe too many quarterbacks standing at some point. So, but no, I understand what you're saying. I don't think it's our plan. I mean, trust me, we don't go into game ever thinking to get our quarterback hit or this particular play he can get hit. You know, sometimes defenses guess right and they do things and they make adjustments, and sometimes guys got to kind of protect themselves a little bit. And those things will happen from time to time. It's true. We've been unfortunate this year. That's happened more than once, twice, three, four times. You know, so we got to live with that too, and we have. We'll see. I mean, more than likely, yes. I mean, that's where he's played, and that's where he's coming back to get ready to go. But again, once we get him out there practice, we'll see where he is.
Just to clarify that play, Kessler got hurt. It was just a simple screen pass. It wasn't supposed to be a backward pass, was it?
No, it was not supposed to be a backward pass.
And that was because it went past
him. Yes.
When you say Josh in practice, you mean full go, or is it kind of ease into things?
No, I know he will practice, but I mean, we don't take our players to the ground or anything like that. So he's gonna practice, you know, and we'll see where he is. He's gonna go out there and throw it around and move around and see how he feels.
Does that mean you've been cleared?
I didn't say that, you know, but he can practice. Practice first, right? So he's gotta practice first. Don't know that yet. You know, we'll know more about that as we move forward.
Problem in covering tight ends, not just yesterday, but
right. I think that's a fair question. I think we gotta get up on them a little tighter. To me, man coverage means that man guards your man, you know, and so we gotta do that better and with more confidence. You know, some guys have made some plays on us that way, and we gotta do that better. There's no question about that. So, you know, people are going to keep exploiting that until we can get it slowed down and stopped. So it's an area that we have an emphasis on, and we're going to try to get corrected.
Good. Thank
you. That's Browns head coach Hugh Jackson at the podium there. Cody Kessler and Josh McCown both should be able to practice this week, and he did decline to name a starter. I think he said he needs to see them out there,
sure,
before he can make that kind of a decision.
Yeah, and the reason why, as you and I kind of discussed as we're listening to Hugh, is, you know, wouldn't it be easy to see one guy or the other be named? You know, if they're both healthy, it's going to be this guy. And I think you have to take in, and I was at a percentage, if Josh is at 80% and Cody's at 85, who do you go with? If Cody can get to 90 by Sunday and Josh still is lingering around 80, you go with Cody Kessler because you have to be impressed with what he's done when he's been given the full week of work. And I think that's what it boils down to, is Hugh Jackson over the course of the next 24 hours is going to construct a game plan to beat the Titans at the quarterback position, in the run game, certain matchups at the wide receiver, so on and so forth. And I believe that both Josh McCown and Cody Kessler could get it done, but you have to see, who do I want to give basically the bulk of my reps to going into this week? Because the one thing that would be a detriment to the Cleveland Browns is you give 50% to Josh and 50% to Kessler, and they're both halfway ready for the Titans. So Hugh, in 24 hours, got to build that game plan and go, okay, as I get my tests back and I talk to the players and I get that feedback, who's better off to get 75% of the reps in practice and 25%? Because you'd love to have, if Josh McCown is that close, if Kessler gets to start, you know, gosh willing, the way things have gone, you know, Kessler's probably going to get hurt and have to miss some snaps. Josh McCown's got to be that next guy, or vice versa.
Don't you think, though, if Cody Kessler's able to go, given you're now 0-5 and given where the season is, that if Kessler is able to go, that he starts for you, or no?
Yes, but it all depends if Hugh Jackson believes that Josh McCown gives us a better opportunity to win, because I think that in my heart of hearts and Hugh Jackson's heart of hearts, he is chasing a victory, regardless of what it looks like. What's 1-15 going to look like? What's 1-5 going to look like? They are chasing that victory. And if he believes in his core that Josh McCown gives them the better chance, regardless of age, regardless of next year, regardless of the next 5 years, that you've got. I think for the other 50 guys, the 52 guys in the locker room, you have to start the guy that you believe gives you the best chance to win.
Yep.
You are not in that full-on developmental mode, because that is Sashi Brown and his team's people's worry. That is not Hugh Jackson's team. His is have these guys ready to play 16 times a year with the best chance to win. And if that is Josh McCown, he is obligated to start him.
Yeah, and we'll find out what that is. All right, take off our final break. We'll be back. Browns outclassed by the Patriots. Not good enough on Sunday for the fifth time this year in the early season. They have 11 more chances to right that ship starting this coming Sunday at Tennessee against the Titans. We'll be back with more CBD right after this.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm, wrapping it up for you here. Don't forget, tomorrow we will be live at the Discount Drug Mart in Sharon Township. That's 38 South Medina Line Road. Xavier Cooper and Joe Schobert from the Browns defense will be on hand as well. So come on out. Live Cleveland Browns Daily remote at the Discount Drug Mart in Sharon Township.
I love those remotes, Discount Drug Mart. They're great people.
They are very nice people.
You can get almost everything that you need at a Discount Drug Mart.
I always get a kick out of seeing what products we're set up next to as well.
Yeah, correct. We've been in the DVD area a couple times, right?
Yes.
We've been in the candy aisle, which is always very enjoyable for me.
We've been in the helpful product area, depending on your
condition, on your age.
The various time or age, yes, or where you're going to go. So we will be out there. Come and see us tomorrow, Discount Drug Mart. We'll get more into this game tomorrow. John Costco will be with us for his Tuesday to get inside the numbers. But again, it wasn't pretty for the Browns. It feels a little demoralizing. And to be honest, look, the Patriots are better than the Browns. That's just a fact. It's been a fact for a long time. The Browns are in week five of what is going to be a painful rebuild. And I think Paul DePodesta said it when – you know, he said you need somebody who's going to get on the roller coaster and not want to get off when things get tough. And things are tough right now for the Browns, and they need to figure out a way to get a victory. And they're going to take on a Tennessee Titans team that is much better than I think people realize. They lost 25-16 to the Minnesota Vikings in a game where they gave up a couple of pick sixes. And what I'm going to say is I think their defense is pretty good.
They are pretty good.
Minnesota had 25 points in that game with Adrian Peterson, but they had a couple of pick sixes. They held Adrian Peterson completely in check. Then they beat the Detroit Lions 16-15 in Detroit. They lose to the Raiders 17-10 at home, but hold the Raiders offense, which has been incredibly potent,
correct,
to just 17 points. They lose at the Texans 27-20 game where there was a defensive touchdown for the Texans, so they didn't give up more than 20 points in that game either defensively. And then they beat Miami 30-17 on the road. So they have played actually –
what are they – they're averaging – are they giving up just a if I did my maths correct, it's probably between 22 and 18 points a game.
Well, let's see. 40, 57, 84, and 17, which would be 101 in five games. So – it adds up to 20 points.
20 points.
But you've got 21 of those points are defensive touchdowns.
Correct. Which technically don't count statistically against the defense.
So that's where they are at there. This is going to be a tough test for the Browns. We're going to start to get in that bit tomorrow. We'll get it really into more of a detailed look at this game. Talk about the players on both sides of the ball, what we saw, what needs to improve, what were the positives, if any, that you could take away from this game, and more. We'll do that tomorrow here on Cleveland Browns A-Plus Tuesdays with Gribbs. So we got to thank Bill Bender for joining us. Thank Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns, for joining us as well. And we will be back with more CBD tomorrow. For Matt Fontana, Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zgura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850 WKNR Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.